May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In high school, my friend Ken was a large guy. He still is. Big guy. And he was the envy of every football coach we ever had from junior high through high school. They just had these wonderful visions of him being this incredible lineman who would defend their quarterback. But Ken didn't like to clash with people. He didn't. Just wasn't his nature. He was a gentle giant. And he had every excuse. He shared every excuse with the coaches why he couldn't play football. And, you know, just because he was big, they just assumed he'd want to, right? But you know the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover, right? Ken became my roommate my freshman year of college, and I introduced him to his wife, who was one of my lab partners in the med tech program that we took, and I stood up in their wedding. Every once in a while, I'll see pictures of Ken, now a grandfather with his grandchildren. You know, he's still the gentle giant, and I'll say, that's Ken. That's Ken. Another friend of mine, a colleague in ministry, early in my years, a tall guy, he had to be 6'6". He's now gone to heaven. He was a big, big guy. And he had really deep, furrowed brow that would turn into a rainbow when he smiled. I had a colleague who said, boy, that guy just always looks so grumpy. And I said, oh, you got to get to know Ron. He's a great guy, a good pastor, and a friend of mine. And you can't judge a book by its cover. Ferdinand was a bull. Unlike any other bull that you may have heard about, why other bulls would run and jump and butt their heads together, Ferdinand preferred just to sit and smell the flowers. His favorite spot to do so was out in the pasture under a cork tree. And even Ferdinand's mother, who was a cow, it says in the book, worried about him being lonely. She would ask him, why don't you run and play with the other little bulls and skip and butt your head? But Ferdinand would shake his head and say, I like it better here where I can sit quietly and smell the flowers. Even when he became big and strong, bigger than many of the other bulls, Ferdinand preferred to sit quietly and smell those flowers. He wasn't like any other bull at all, which again tells you that you just can't judge a bull by its cover. Now, the movie Ferdinand is based on Monroe Leaf's timeless children's classic, The Story of Ferdinand. I went to the library and got it out. I wasn't familiar with this book from my childhood. How many of you are familiar with the Ferdinand story, the book? Wow, how did I miss this growing up on a beef farm? I don't know. There weren't bulls there, that's why. I'm looking at my farmer friend over there. It was first published in 1936, and Disney made it into a 7-minute short film, which you can find on YouTube, by the way, which won an Academy Award for a short animation film. He actually wrote it in 1935. It's one of Time Magazine's 100 best children's books of all time. And at one point in the late 30s, it was outselling Gone with the Wind. In addition to the Disney short, Ferdinand merchandise soon followed, as well as a balloon in the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, songs and author interviews. The book's popularity coincided with the Spanish Civil War. And in 1937, Leaf told an audience that he received letters complaining that Ferdinand was red propaganda, and others complained that it was fascist propaganda. The Women's Club said it was an unworthy satire of the peace movement. It was banned in Spain, and Hitler burned it. Mahatma Gandhi loved it, and Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt admired it. That's quite a history for a children's book, isn't it? And it's never been out of print. In all those years, it's never been out of print. Leif's wife, Margaret, told the story of her husband's writing of the story of Ferdinand in an interview on NPR. The depression was nearly over, she said. We were very poor. It was written on a Sunday afternoon in 1935. Margaret had been reading manuscripts for a publisher to earn some extra money. Monroe kept bothering her while she worked, and she told him, "Get lost. Go and amuse yourself. Do something." And in less than an hour, he came back with a yellow legal pad, and Ferdinand was born. Leif gave the story to his friend, illustrator Robert Lawson, who brought it to life with detailed, whimsical pen and ink drawings, and the book took off. Much has been conjectured about the story of Ferdinand, from Monroe Leif being a pacifist — he's not — to recent essay about it being the first children's book to defy gender stereotypes. I'm not sure. But Margaret Leif herself said her husband was a peaceful man, but he wasn't a pacifist. He died in 1976. He wrote other books, but none of them ever had the global success that of the story of Ferdinand. His son Andy Leif says his father was amused by all the different interpretations of this book. Andy Leif commented about his father, "He was very smart that way. He just let people interpret it as they wished." And I'm no different from others. I have my own interpretations from the book and the movie. And by the way, the 1938 short film made by Disney is almost word for word the book, which is only 800 words long. The 2017 full-length movie retelling of the book has developed some of the other characters in it and added some others for variety and depth of characters. It's certainly an updated version of the story and has some really funny moments. I think the favorite one is when he's running away from some people who are trying to get to him, and he backs into a door, and he turns around, and he's in a china shop. I mean, you got to love a book that kids, or a movie that kids laugh at, and that captures the attention and of adults also. I mean, A Bull in the China Shop, come on, that's funny. That's funny stuff. I found the storytelling engaging, the animation great, and another time was the dance-off between bulls on the farm and three horses who have German accents. Why German accents? I don't know. It's funny. By the way, the bulls won the dance-off, and as the horses go off to their stalls, one of the bulls talks smack to the horses, saying, "That's right, prance, because you cannot dance." On a side note, this is an Academy Award-nominated film and was also nominated for 2 Golden Globes. So there's definitely some lessons that we can garner from as we consider the themes of this animated film. The first is that about conformity. Ferdinand is different. There's no doubt about that. But he achieved something that I think many people, not bulls, but people, achieve. He was comfortable with himself. He wasn't obnoxious or demanding. He simply knew what he wanted. He stated what he wanted, and he did what he wanted, as long as it didn't hurt others. There's a part in the movie in which Ferdinand says there's a place where you don't get pushed around for being yourself. The other side of that non-conformist attitude is those who are conformists and pressure those who are different to fit into preconceived notions of how people should be and act. Paul in his letter to the Romans writes that the nature of our flesh and the nature of our spirit are sometimes in conflict. And of course, Paul is addressing more than just our physical nature versus our inner proclivities. But there is this a difference of contrast between the two that is illustrative of Ferdinand's story. It's something that we all must determine for ourselves, our spiritual nature versus the challenges of our physical nature, even when people tend to judge a book by its cover. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." It's through our spirit, in connection with God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that we become our best, self and can determine our future. In the calm and courage of God's presence, we can renew our minds and open ourselves to the possibility of each of us as individuals and as the body of Christ, each of us together. The second lesson is related to the first. When you seek not to conform to this world, there is potential for misunderstanding. The Apostle Paul wrote much about standing firm in your faith in his letter to the Corinthians. He writes, "Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous and strong." And when you choose to be different from what others think you should be, they will misunderstand, mistreat, and misuse you. Even in the midst of that misunderstanding, mistreatment, and misuse, you must, as Paul proclaimed, stand firm. There's great wisdom and integrity in standing firm. The third lesson is related to the second. When there's misunderstanding, sometimes we get stung. It was a complete misunderstanding that led Ferdinand to the bullfighting ring, even though he repeatedly said he did not like to fight. In the book and in the movie, Ferdinand inadvertently sets on a bee and got stung. And he romped around and he snorted and he bellowed, making the humans around him think that he was this large and violent creature. Well, he was large. They thought that certainly this beast would make for great entertainment in the Plaza de Toro, the bullfighting arena. And Ferdinand was led to the arena for what was going to be a famous matador's last bullfight, the fantastic final chapter of his illustrious career. The fourth lesson is we should stop and smell the flowers. Always good advice, whether you actually smell flowers or not. But stop. I mean, there's a reason why the 23rd Psalm says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." It doesn't seem to be an option. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So the arena is full of people. The matador stands in the center, and the gate is opened, and the crowd gasp in anticipation, and out saunters Ferdinand the bull, the peaceful, flower-sniffing bull. And he sees on the ground a flower that was thrown to the matador, who then smelled it and discarded it, but Ferdinand comes up to it, and he sits down. And there's pictures of the bull sitting down. I grew up on a farm. It is funny to see a steer sit down like a dog. I mean, it's really funny. It is a comical sight. And he just sits there, and he smells the flower. And when it appeared that there was going to be no fight, the bandoleros and the picadors goaded Ferdinand into fighting, but he wouldn't. He was just happy to sit and smell that flower. And when it was apparent that Ferdinand was not going to fight, the matador stood ready to end his life. But then the crowd rose up and called out for mercy and for the life of Ferdinand to be spared. And so they took Ferdinand home, where he could sit under his favorite cork tree and smell the flowers around him. When we stop and smell the flowers, we take time to experience life as a gift and celebration of God's wonderful creation, appreciate all that God has given to us. A final lesson that we might glean from this children's movie is that we achieve our goals by being our goals. Ferdinand was a peaceful bull, and by living that way, he achieved peace for himself and others. At least that's my main takeaway from the movie, over against the book. We serve the Prince of Peace that came to us in the most vulnerable state that we celebrated just a few weeks ago, a baby born in Bethlehem. He lived peacefully, but he died violently at the hands of others. But he rose victorious, and he shares that victory with each of us. We live in a world in which we should not be conformed, and because of that call upon our lives, there will be misunderstanding, and sometimes we will be stung. But stay true to yourself. Stand firm. Live your goal and stop to smell the flowers every once in a while, and you'll become your goal. That's not only the message from the movie Ferdinand, but for today, that's the word of God for the people of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.